All right, well, this evening we're going to talk about this thing called time. All of us have equal amounts of it if we live through the day. It doesn't mean we have equal amounts life-wise, but it means each day that we live, we all have 24 hours. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, doesn't matter if you're short, doesn't matter if you're tall. We all have that time. And so really what I want to do tonight is talk about looking at our time and valuing it and understanding that time is something the Lord blesses us with and He calls us to be stewards of. You know, I think that we have no problem saying that we should be a good steward of the talents the Lord blesses us with. Spiritual gifts, abilities, certain personalities. I also think many of us, even though practically speaking we may struggle a little bit, I think we would attest to the fact that, yes, we need to be good stewards of our treasures. And primarily, most of the time when you hear the word treasure, in that reference, you think of monetary goods and material goods. I would even say friendships, relationships, because those are treasures. And so when we look at those two areas, and somebody says, hey, well, in order for you to be a good steward of those things, you really need to kind of take a tally of what you have, you know, to have a budget. To think about your relationships and the amount of time you're spending with people. To think about your talents and how you're using your gifts and how you're using your abilities. But I think time slips by us on that some of the time. I think many times life just kind of, for many people, just happens to us. But we have a, you know, 9-to-5 job or an 8-to-10 job or whatever shift you work. And we have a certain amount of family time. We do soccer games. We do football games. We do activities. You know, we're certain pieces of our time pie are occupied by things that we're involved with, but I don't know how intentional we are some of the times in those things. It's almost as if they just kind of happen. And so tonight, what I want us to do is just really look at the value of time and how God calls us to be a good steward of time. Because I say this in the PIC, Pastor Reeder really impressed upon me as I listened to one of his talks on this, just the value of time, and that time, when we use it, we don't get it back. You know, if I use $10, I can make $10 back typically. But if I use 10 hours, I'm not getting that 10 hours back. And there's a certain allotted amount of time, and we're not going to gather more time. You know, there's been many people throughout the scope of history who have tried to create more time, try to extend their lifetime. I mean, even today, people do that. They're so bound and determined to do that rather than saying, you know what, the birth date and the death date, I have no control over. Absolutely no control over. But God calls me to be a good steward of what I would call kind of the dash. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, which we will dig into here in a moment in more detail. But the leading statement of that passage is, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time. Making the best use of your time, or the most of your time. So that's a clear imperative for us to take this seriously. And there's many passages that talk about time. Christ talks about time. He talks about how we're very fleeting. We are but a vapor, you know, and we're here one day and gone the next. And so what do we do with that? How do we evaluate that and how do we capture it? Well, I want us to look here, going back to our acronym here, and I'm not on the actual outline yet. I'm still working outside of the outline. But this acronym here, I say AC has to have a T to act. And what I mean by that is we've already looked at our acts, and I left the S off because we're not at the S yet. But the first thing we looked at was the A, awareness and acknowledgement. And we talked through that, being aware of the needs around us, realizing that that brokenness helps to build bridges for us to walk into people's lives, and that we're called to meet people's needs, spiritually primarily, physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally. And then also, too, the C, that this awareness should lead us into a conviction, and that conviction being what we believe to be the truth. And when we believe that the solution for the world's needs is Christ in the gospel, and the manifestations from that, then we in turn have a compassion for the world around us. And we want to share that good news with them. And we want to show that good news to them as well. And so in order for us to get from AC, which is just kind of blowing out cold air, just kind of talking a lot about it, we have to move to this next category. And that is really look at our time, talents, and treasures. And so for the next two meetings, that's what we're going to do. Okay. Tonight we're going to look at time. And then I'm going to give you guys a homework assignment. I won't be here next week, so we're going to take next week off. That's spring break. Midweek's still going, so if you want to come and eat a meal, feel free to do that. Go to a different class. That's fine. I won't penalize you too bad. But we won't be here tomorrow to meet. I mean, next week to meet, but we will have a homework assignment. And then we're going to jump into talents and treasures. And I'm not, the treasure piece, I'm going to barely touch on tithe and giving, because that's something I think we as a church communicate quite well. I'm going to focus more on the treasure of relationships and friendships and partnerships in ministry. Okay. So that's really where we're going to land next week. I mean, the week after next, April the 6th. So we'll look at spiritual gifts. We're going to look at your personality, and we're going to look at treasures, primarily relationships. And I want to leave you really in this category with this particular verse, which kind of brings us all home. And this is James. And James says this in chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So James is laying out an illustration I think we can all connect with, right? And maybe at times been guilty of. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope everything goes well. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I really probably need to do more than that. But man, my life is just wide open right now. I don't even know how I could fit that in. Have y'all ever done that before? Maybe not. Yeah. And so what James is saying, that's an example that we can all relate to. And then he goes on to say, which, you know, in many Reformed circles is a tough verse to deal with because people don't really completely understand what he's saying there. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So is he saying we have a work salvation? Please say no. Recording, no. What is he saying there? Right, they're evidence. Because if he wasn't saying that, then he would be contradicting what he says in Romans about Abraham. Justification by faith, right? So there again, that systematic approach to Scripture, that they don't conflict with one another. So he's just saying, look, an evidence of true, authentic faith, is there's going to be some works there. I mean, you look at Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, that we should walk in them. So there again, he's saying that. So when we look at this equation, we don't want to be this guy, just kind of blowing air like an AC. We want to be the one who actually does something. We want to be the one that does something. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by looking at our time, our talents, and our treasure. And when we allocate those, it puts us in a position to act. But if we don't do that, then we're not in a position to act. We're in a position to talk and not act. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's look here real quick. My brother, he's 4.5 years younger than me, and he posted something the other day on his Facebook page, and it just really, I was like, Kerry, buddy, you have no idea how that spoke to me and how that helped me in preparation, just kind of refining this preparation for this lesson. And what he did was he posted a picture of a tombstone. And he asked a question about the dash. He said, we all have a dash. What are you doing with your dash? And it just, I think that for me, I'm a visual guy. So when I look at that, I'm like, okay, what am I doing with a dash? And of course, this is, his tombstone was a little different. And I pulled one up that I saw, and this person was born 9 days before I was. And this person died 9 years ago, almost. And I thought, the Lord gave me 9 more years than this person. Am I being faithful? Am I being a good steward? Because I had no control over that, you know. And so the question tonight is, and I kind of want to open it up with, what are you doing with your dash? You know, what is it that you're doing? Are we being not rigid, not legalistic, but are we being faithful to capture our dash and to use it for God's glory in His kingdom? In order for us to do that, hopefully, as we move into this next portion, it'll help you think through that. So, redeeming the time. Let's go back to Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. I find it interesting that both of those texts are 15 through 17. So Ephesians 15 through 17, 5, 15 through 17. James, would you read that for us, man? Thanks, man.
Look carefully then how you walk, and that is unwise, but is wise. Take the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen. So here we have this passage, and it's clear that Paul has given us not a suggestion, it's an imperative. And he's telling us to walk not as unwise. And why do you think he words it that way? Why do you think the negative is before the positive imperative? Because we have, amen, because of our flesh, we have an inclination to do that. So he's saying, here's the default, guys. You walk as unwise, but you need to walk as wise. And what is walking as wise? Well, making the what? Best use of the time. He gives the definition of that. It's redeeming the time is what it is. And because why? The days are evil. What does that mean? The days are evil. Any thoughts? Have you ever read that passage and go, wow, what does he mean there? Yeah. Yeah, so there's things that vie for your time. Exactly, I like that very well. What else, Steve? Were you going to say something else? Right. Amen. And that's really twofold. One, we live in a fallen, broken world. So the days are evil because of the brokenness and the fallenness. And what he promises us is that even in the midst of that brokenness and that fallenness, we have a hope in Christ, right? So for us to be able to be wise in how we walk and have the best use of time, then there has to be an element of our life, the main thrust of our life, has to be for us to want to worship and be formed by Christ and see the same for others. And that's how we walk as wise. To make worshipers for the Lord, as John Piper would say. And that's what missions is all about, is we're going out to try to, what, create worshipers for the Lord. And so here you have this situation. So let's break this down in a couple of keys on how to redeem time that I think is very applicable to our life. And this is where we transition from the conceptual, I'm not going to say abstract because that could be a negative term, but the conceptual, spiritual, motivational side of our talk. We talked about that side. Now we're going to move more into how that fleshes out practically. What are some practices that you can put in your life? Here's the principles, here's the practices. Okay, so now we're moving in that direction. So how do we do that? How do we walk not as unwise, but as wise? Keys to redeeming the time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you five categories, kind of all-encompassing categories of redeeming time in the way God's structured us. Okay? And hopefully every part of your life you can kind of fit in here except for your sin. And that's the fat that I'm going to encourage you to trim. Is whatever it is that you're doing that is self-absorbed, self-motivated, you're involved in the self-actualization of your flesh, then that shouldn't fit in these categories, okay? And we'll break that down in more detail here in just a moment. So First thing, time invested in God-centered worship, both individually and corporately. We should all have this in our life. This is a non-negotiable. The question is, we'll get to this in more detail. How do you define that in your life? Is, you know, I'm not opening that up for the floor right now, but is that something that's a Sunday morning event? Is that a daily event? Is that a morning event? Is that a when I walk around everyday event? What does that look like for you, both individually and corporately? And that's a question you have to ask, because as you look at your time and the allocation of your time, and you look at this as a primary need in redeeming your time, then those are the kind of questions you have to ask yourself about that one particular category. Another one is this: time invested in the Christ, in Christ formation, becoming more like Christ. This is discipleship. And some of the times people conflate these two. They say, well, worship is discipleship because you are discipled through worship and through the preaching and teaching of the Word. But that corporate worship should not be the only discipleship you have. Discipleship should grow deeper. You know, Christ had that kind of three-tiered approach to discipleship. He preached and taught to what? To the masses. And the disciples were there hearing it. And then he had the disciples, the 70 or the 72. And then he had an even deeper group, the 12. And some could even say the 3. You know, so you see that tiered approach. And the same thing in our lives. When we have that tier, what we do is we get these, we get the teaching from all three tiers, and we get the relational component too. So, time invested in Christ formation, time invested in God-centered worship. The third one is time invested in relational ministry. Family, church, community, world. Now, this is a broad brush category. People see the word ministry and they automatically think, well, it's some kind of program I'm involved with. It's a group like tonight that I go to. It's a small group I'm involved with. No. Relational ministry is any relationship in your life. It's your family. It's your friends. It's your extended family. It's any relationship you have. You have ministry in that relationship because we're all what? Ministers and missionaries, right? And so you have that opportunity to minister to people. Now that ministry comes in many different forms and fashions. It's a shepherding mindset in that we meet people in encouragement. We meet people in edification. We meet people in supporting them in their needs. I mean, there's all kind of ways to do that. But the question is, do you have that in your life? We're relational beings. The fourth one is time invested in provisional activity. Provisional activity is what we do to meet our needs. It's our jobs. It's our careers. It's how we provide for ourselves and provide for others. And our dependents can be anybody. It could be, you know, grandparents. It could be children. It could be parents. It could be whoever it is that we provide for. There's an element there that obviously is God ordained. We're called to work. We're called to make tents. And so what is it that you're doing? And that's got to be a piece of that pie, right? And then lastly, time invested in engaging creation. Engaging creation. Appreciating creation. Walks in the park. You know? Going to see art. Enjoying God-ordained, God-exalting creation standards. And that can be going to see a ballet. Whatever that is. And so the question is, do you have all these in your life, and can you fit your time into these categories? What you do now? Because that's going to be one of our exercises. And then the percentages of your time in these categories. Because when you start doing the percentages, that's where you're going to see where you lean. It's amazing how effective this is. If you do this exercise, it really is amazing how effective it is. It's showing you, kind of like the checkbook assessment. You know, where do I, the old days when you wrote your checks instead of, you know, the credit card bill now that hardly anybody looks at, they just see the tally at the end. But you look at your checks and you go, where is it that I put my money? And that's kind of where your heart is, you know? Where is it that I put my time? I would argue that's definitely where your heart is. That's definitely where your desire is and your leaning is. So those five categories there. So does anybody have any questions about that? I'll kind of show you a little bit about how that breaks down. Here's an example. There again, when you do the percentages, and if you're fairly good with, like, you can get on Word, you can get on Excel, and you can go to charts and hit charts, and you can actually insert categories and just put a percentage. And when you put a percentage, it'll make a pie chart for you. You know, you can estimate the percentages. What I say, was it last week that I said 95% of all percentages are made up? But you know, you can do that, or you can be more technical, depending on your personality. I personally think it's a great idea to actually enter those percentages into a Word, or the Word will bring you up an Excel document, and it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I'm like elementary Excel, and I can do it. So if I can do it, you guys can do it. And you have this great pie chart, and it shows you where you land. You know, and I kind of gave an example here. Provisional, most of us work a ton. Most of us work a ton. And so that provisional piece is a pretty large piece, right? And then the relational piece, if you say it's all encompassing, that's time we spend with our families, that's time we spend at church, that's a pretty decent piece too, right? And then, of course, you know, provisional also includes sleep, because that's meeting our needs. Then you have worship, and you have formation, and then you have creation. So let me tell you how this practically plays out for a lot of people. How do you think this practically plays out for a lot of people as far as percentages when you look at that? The pieces of the pie, which are the biggest and which are usually the smallest? Provisional is the largest. I'd say for some people who are workaholics, provisional may be from here to here. And then you only got this left. And then usually what's the next one? That's the biggest. Relational. And sometimes that's not even purposeful. It's just by default. I got to be around my family. You know, there's a difference between having to be around and being present and really enjoying it, you know. And then there's another piece that tends to be bigger than what I think it should be. And which one do you think that is? Engaging creation. Yeah, because that there's a leisure element to that, right? Because if you look at the classification of that, engaging art, that can include TV, that can include the internet, that you can justify a lot of things in that area. And what happens is, what I find many times, practically, you'll see provisional will be half, relational will be a quarter, creation will be almost another quarter, and then you'll see worship and formation. That's that big. Do y'all think that's the way it should be? Because if it is, what's forming us? That's the question. Because what does the Word say? Don't be conformed, but what? Transformed. And if we're conformed, we're conformed to whatever we're spending our time to. And so what is conforming us, if that's the case? Those things we expose ourselves to and engage in creation, which really, when you peel that back, if we're engaging creation that much, it becomes, leisure becomes our king. It becomes our idol. It can be. Okay? I'm not saying that that's evil in and of itself, but when it becomes an idol, it's an issue. You know, how many times have you come home, you know, hard day, 6:30, 7 o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock in the evening, and, you know, little kids run up, hey, daddy, hey, baby. If it's 6 o'clock, my kids are running up. It's that age. Now they're teenagers. They're like, hey, where's my kids? Are they still here? No, they'll still come around. We'll talk. We'll hang out for a little while. But my inclination many times is what? I want some time to myself. I want some downtime. And that downtime ends up being what, typically? Watching the news, getting a snack, maybe scrolling social media, doing things that are engaging creation, but they're not formative. They're definitely not worship-oriented. And next thing you know, you're sitting there, and it's 2, 2.5, 3 hours that you've just burned. And you're not getting that back. And that's not redeeming the time. Now, am I saying that having a little downtime is a bad thing? No. Do you need to decompress? Sometimes you do. But what does that decompression look like? And do you honestly evaluate that? Or is that just something you just go, well, I've worked so hard, I deserve this. You know? I think those are the pockets of that sinfully oriented time that we can capture back and move from this category to this category and this category. So that's just an example. So what does your life pie chart look like? And so I'm going to give you all that assignment, okay? That's your assignment for this next week. You see the little pie chart down there as an example. I want you all to work through that. You can write in the percentages in there for your own good. I will probably kind of get some feedback on that. I'd like to have some feedback when we do our concluding stuff at the end as we pull all this together and wrap it together. But if you want to do an Excel sheet and you want to pull out some percentages and send it to me, I'd love that. I mean, you get like 2 smiley face, sticker faces if you do that. I mean, seriously, it'd be awesome. So does anybody have any questions about this?
Now, it may not be practical possible. Sometimes when you're at work, something's happening at work, your mind may not be in worship. But have you seen maybe thought, word, and Jesus ideally supposed to be directly somehow, some way applied to worship?
1 Corinthians 10:31. Yeah. And I agree. For the purpose of our time management, undistracted, focused worship, both individually and corporately, would be that category. Yeah. That's a good point, Steve. Thank you for that.
Yeah, we have people that the last one too on the situation. Yeah, the word your activity that's healthy.
Yeah. It isn't. It's when it's distorted or perverted. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Very unhealthy. Give me what you're saying, but I want to say this real quick. Great point, Paul. Thank you for clarifying that. The categories, the 5 categories, are areas that I think are good and beneficial. It's when any of those 5 categories can be perverted and distorted by our flesh. And that 5th category is the one that I think is most susceptible to be. So thank you for bringing that up. That's a great point. Jimmy, yes, sir. Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. Peers at work, yeah. Yeah. That's a great point, yeah. So I would say this for clarification's sake, for my own percentage. I'd say that I take runs out in the park quite often. When I'm running, very seldom do I have the breath or the mental capacity to pray. I'm just like trying to stay alive. And then when I walk, and Dave knows this because Dave does the park a lot, when I walk, I pray. And so for me, many times when I'm walking and I'm taking in God's creation, that is very much a worshipful event for me. You know, prayer time, reflecting on God's character, reflecting on who He is, reflecting that through His creation. So great point, yes. And just classifying that in your own personal, how you do it. So, yeah. Great points. Anybody else have anything? Going once, going twice. All right, so moving on. All right, so let's look at this next one here. I just don't have time to fit anything else in. I hear this so often. And I want to be generous and graceful when somebody says that. Because I do believe there's a lot of people very, very busy with very short, thin margins in life. Unhealthy margins, if you will. They haven't done a good job of developing parameters, and their life is a whirlwind. And so when I hear that, the first thing I see in somebody that says that is, I can't put anything else into my life. And I think they have the wrong perspective. I'll tell you all a funny story to use as an illustration. So I have, I have a shorts drawer. And my shorts drawer has a lot of athletic shorts in it. And if you know about athletic shorts, they're real slippery. So they don't fold real good and hold real good. They can slide and move and everything. So I just kind of gave up on my shorts drawer about a year ago. And anytime my wife would wash clothes, she'd tell me, I'm not putting anything else in that drawer, Ray, until you straighten it up. Because I can't get anything else in there. And I'm like, just give it to me. I can get it. So here I am stuffing shorts in that drawer. It's disorganized, discombobulated. And I get frustrated because I can't get the drawer shut. Yeah, I know it's pitiful. But anyway, and so finally, I was like, I can't put one more thing in this drawer. So I pull it all out, and I refold it. And do you know I didn't throw away one pair of shorts? When they were folded and I put them back in, I had about 2 inches of room because they were organized, they were prioritized, they were folded up, they were neat, and I was able to get all of that in there. And it's the same way with our life many times. Our life is a jumbled sock or shorts drawer. And we need to pull it out. Somebody's got one I see over here. So we need to pull it out and refold. Just simply tidy up, you know, rather than trying to push something else in a disorganized mess. And so what does that look like? Well, pull instead of push. Items have to be taken out before others can be put in. So in life, when we're looking at our life and we're doing evaluation, there is that temptation to try to fit more stuff in without looking at what's already there. And so I want to encourage you guys to evaluate your life. What is it that is in your life? And look at it based on these categories. And like Jimmy said, some of this stuff overlaps. This isn't a perfect illustration, but it's something to kind of get you, your wheels churning, you know, and start moving in that right direction. So really look at that and know that when you do that, you're going to find space. Very, very seldom is there not space. And if there isn't, then you have to ask yourself, if there isn't space for worship, formation, if there isn't space for a significant relational development, then what am I spending my time for? What is it that I'm doing? The second thing is, in order for us to say no, which sometimes we have to do when we see these items that need to be removed, a no has to be preceded with a better yes. Know your yeses. What is it that you are convicted and compassionate about that are primary in your life? You know, we talked about that last week. What are those holy affections that the Lord's laid on your heart that you want to serve? And outside of that, trim it back. What does Paul say? This one thing that I do. Yeah. Yeah. And he presses on towards what's in front of him by doing what? By having a laser focus. I mean, the guy was laser focused. He had so many circumstantial changes. He had, you know, he was beat. He was abused. He suffered tremendously. He was put in prison. I mean, all these things. But yet that one clear conviction, compassion manifested itself in his life. And he was able to say no to this other stuff. I'm sure there was a many a cities that said, hey, won't you come here, Paul? It's not where the Holy Spirit's leading me. He's leading me there. He's leading me there. He's leading me there. Because he had a better yes, so he could tell everybody no. And I'll tell you, in church, what you'll find in church is, and I've said this many times, and listen, it's wonderful. And if you're one of these people, praise the Lord for you. Because I'm one of these people. But somebody who's passionate about a particular ministry, they can champion that ministry, and they can convince you it's the best ministry you could ever be involved with. Well, guess what happens? When you got 120 of those, and people are coming at you left and right with, Steve, you need to be involved with my ministry. No, my ministry. No, my ministry. James, what about you? And then you got to go, wait a minute. I don't want to let these people down, or I don't want to tell these people no and not say yes to somebody. So what's my yes? So that's it. And then another thing is, make an appointment for all that is important. What do you think I mean by that? Do we make appointments for things like doctor's appointments? Yes. Doctor's visit? Yes. Do we make appointments for important things at work? Yes. You got an interview? you got that appointment on your calendar, right? You're not going to miss it. If you got a final exam, that appointment's on your calendar. You're not going to miss it, right? What makes that happen? What makes that work? What makes that become a part of your calendar because it's important to you? I would suggest that when you want to spend time with your family, or you want to spend time in the Bible, or you want to spend time reading a book, or you want to spend time with any of those things that you're compassionate about, put it on your calendar. Because if you don't put it on your calendar, something else will take that time. I had somebody tell me that a long time ago, and that was a huge help for me. I put time that I spend with my son and my daughter on my calendar. I put my date night on my calendar. And the reason being is because I want to look at it, and it takes priority. And I can honestly tell somebody when they call me, hey, Ray, can you do this right now at the last minute? I go, no, I got an appointment. And I don't have to tell them what the appointment is, but I can be honest and say, I've got an appointment because it's important. And so I would encourage you to do that. Appoint your time. I even got a guy that I know, a guy that Dave and I both know, I won't mention his name, who makes appointments with his leisure time. I'm gonna be resting from this point to this point. And that's okay. You know, good for him. But there again, he can say, I got an appointment because it's a high value. And if we value things in life, I would encourage you to make appointments. I really would. And that leads into this last one. Live a 15-minute life. Always look for opportunities. Pastor Rear, he shared with us, I think he shared with me privately, and then he shared with a group about how he segments his life. To be able to accomplish all that he accomplishes, it's amazing what you can get done in 15 minutes. And some of the times we won't do something because we're like, I don't have time to do that. But if we block out 15 minutes, imagine reading your Bible for 15 minutes. Imagine journaling for 15 minutes. Imagine having a 15-minute conversation with somebody on the phone. I mean, you can do that. When you set your appointments, look in 15-minute increments. And that may be 4 15-minute increments, or that may be 3. But it loosens you up. It frees you up. When you block off a whole hour for a 20-minute event, you just burn 40 minutes. You really did. Does that make sense? Yeah. So those are some of the things. Anybody have any questions or maybe any comments to how you've implemented some of these things in your life and what you see, or maybe something different you've implemented that's helped you out? Anything? Yeah, that's why you can't be rigid. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and you see that with Christ. I mean, time and time again, people would tug on Christ, and he was in the midst of doing something, and he would stop because that was the primary conviction. And his compassion, that's what ruled the day. So that's when this is blended with that. And you're exactly right, Steve. That was the last thing I was going to leave you guys with, is do not be rigid. Be organized, be planned, but don't be rigid. Yeah, be flexible, no doubt.
Like something I see working with guys down at Brother Blind, the 9-month program for the first 4 months, you don't turn your mind. So I expect to be the first. So next to the first thing you need to take the funds up. Especially with the younger guys, and it's it.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yep.
I think social media, Facebook, is amoral. But if you scroll through Facebook for 2 hours, that's been good. And that, the devil has gotten you away from thinking about spiritual things, the holy affection, the things of God, or discipling. It's basically just tactics. And it's one of the most difficult things that, to me to do is to try to let these guys understand. Very frustrating.
Amen. And here again, when it comes to, you know, obviously social media has conveniently been the big thing that people point to because it's so obvious. I mean, you know, Steve mentioned it earlier in our study about going to restaurants now and seeing people neck deep in their phones. And, you know, you can go anywhere. I mean, we can pull down the street down here to the Dunkin' Donuts and see that, you know. And you see it in cars now. I saw it in the left lane 2 times today alone, you know. and it drives me nuts. I saw a postal worker doing it today. She had her blinker, she left the blinker on, and she was leaving, and I got to the middle lane, and I rode around beside her, and she's got her face mask halfway down, and she's doing this. And I thought, if I took a picture of that right now, the comedy, the irony in all of that, you got this safety valve on, but yet you're doing this in the road with the blinker on. But anyway, to your point though, man. Yeah, we're all good. Exactly. Yeah.
I was at a Bears game last year with some guys, and this player hit a real high fly ball. And I'm just watching it, and everybody's doing this, including the guys on his phone, hit him right on top of the head and knocked him out. but I was looking around him, like, you're going to look up, and everybody was kind of in that hit one mode.
Yeah. So here we go. So I think I can't remember the guy's name. I heard he's a pastor up in New York. He's an Australian guy. What's his name? Something Tyson. Anyway, I was listening to a podcast and I heard him talking about the self-indulgent culture we live in. And he said even people who realize we live in a self-indulgent culture don't realize the effects it has even on them. Because of the 17 years of self-indulgence with the advent of smart devices, it's accelerated that and it's deepened it. And that when we extract ourselves from those, we actually have the same effects that many times addicts do when they because it's an addiction. When we pull away, there is that detoxification, if you will, from it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like somebody's got the Pavlovian dog.
Well, and that's the notification side. Yeah, no doubt. That should be a whole nother class in and of itself right there. No, that's great. No, amen. No. Yeah. Listen, we are recording this. Is going to be on the internet. You did not do that, did you? You did not. No, that's a joke, right? Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Always driving the speed limit, right? Yes. Yes, sir. We will not mention your full name. We will not mention your full name. Okay, so homework, guys. All right, here we go. For this next week, evaluate the last week of your life and determine your time expenditures. So go 1 week and look at them. And I would suggest put these categories down and have space in between each category and just say, okay, I spent 30 minutes doing this. I spent 2 hours doing this. And be honest. This is something y'all are going to look at. I'm not going to look at it. Okay? I want you to look at it. I want you to evaluate. I want you to pray about it. But look at it. Second thing is, do your own life pie chart based on perceived percentages. So when you do this, you're kind of doing it twofold. Once you start filling in those categories, then you can kind of add the time up and do the percentages. It'll all work itself out for you, okay? And then lastly, I gave y'all a personality inventory. I want you to tally it and your spiritual gifts inventories before April 6th. Because when we jump into talents and treasure, we're going to talk about that, okay? So, all right, so what discussion question did I give you? No, what's the one I gave you at the beginning of the class? All right, so you four split up. All right, and I'm going to keep, Jimmy and Hayden, I'm going to get y'all back row and, well, no, I don't want to do that. Let's see. Y'all just all get together and share. That'd be good. That's kind of a, I split. Yeah, y'all all come together and share. All right. All y'all. Okay, let me pray for us. Father, thank you so very much, once again, for the time you've given us, the fact that our heart beats, and that we breathe today is because of your goodness. Lord, you hold us together. You hold this world together. You hold this universe together. And Lord, let us never forget that. Let us never take for granted the blessing of life and the blessing of being able to be relational, Lord, to use the gifts you've given us and to capture the time that you've blessed us with. And pray now as you guide us into this conversation and into these next 2 weeks that you would be with us and help each person as they look at their life and as we evaluate and do this time management study that we would truly be able to see you work in our lives and peel away those things that need to be removed and add those things that need to be in our life. And pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys. Thank y'all so much. Okay, well, why don't we do this? Why don't everybody just kind of circle around and talk together? That way y'all can all share and I can jump into and hear it. One big group and everybody can kind of share. Let's do that. I like constantly changing things up on y'all. Keeps you a little bit uneasy and off guard.